Joshua chapter 22. And I'm not going to beforehand read the entire chapter and then start over again. So we'll begin and we'll go along. But let me start off by saying in chapter 22, in the Bible, 2 is the number of division. And so to me, chapter 22 has even got double division in it. And as we see, there'll be plenty of division to go on. But I want to preach a message this morning that I've entitled, Just a Misunderstanding. Just a Misunderstanding. And you know, sometimes misunderstanding can lead to misinterpretations and misconceptions and misconstruing behavior and motives, which leads to quarrels and divisions. And so hopefully we'll be able to see that here as we look at this chapter. I want to begin in verse number 1. It says, Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and half tribe of Manasseh. Now, the thing they have to understand here, leading up to this, in the previous chapters, Joshua has gone and divided the nation, and they all have their respective places to be, and they were given their land grants and all that. But this goes all the way back to when Moses was bringing the children of Israel into the promised land, and as they began to enter in, they were assessing the property. And some made certain determinations and others, couldn't wait to get in. But if you would, let's turn over to Numbers chapter 32. And again, you'll find that there's a very familiar passage in Numbers 32 that we use all the time. And I guess we can apply it, but in its context, it's dealing with the nation of Israel and the tribes, per se. And so, beginning in verse number 1, it said, Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. See, already this is the reasoning here, why the 2.5 tribes, you've got Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh. And so it said, Now the children of Reuben and children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. See, they had cattle. And they say, oh, this is a good place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Gimrah and Heshbon and Eleali and Shebam and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle. And thy servants, talking of themselves, thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, saith they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. The Jordan River is the dividing line for where they came in and then over into the promised land. So what they're asking is that we want to stay on the east side of the River Jordan. So it's creating a division in the land, in the nation. Moses said unto the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, Shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? Knowing that there would be enemies, all of your Canaanite, all your Ite people, the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites, all of those, that crowd is over there, they're going to have to fight them. He says, And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. Remember the report of the 10 there, they came back and, or the report that was given, 10 of them gave a bad report, 2 of them gave a good report. Anyway, and Joshua was one of them. And when they went unto the land of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he swore, saying, Now, if you recall, that little episode there caused the nation of Israel to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. And so surely none of these men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years. Oh, I spoiled it. Until all generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead. See, he's saying, remember that episode and what it cost us? He said, you're trying to do the same thing again. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead in an increase of sinful men to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if ye turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and the cities for our little ones, but we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them into their place. They're volunteering to go before the rest of the tribes in there until they take that land. And then, well, as it says, our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side. Yonder, I went down yonder. Yonder side, Jordan, or forward, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side, Jordan. We're not going to get over there and then take somebody else's. We're coming back here. This is the part that we want. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. This is the verse that we quote out of context all the time. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Well, that statement right there is pretty true. Most of the time, if you want to get involved in sin, it's only a matter of time before your sin will find you out. But in the context of that passage, it's dealing with the fact that these people promised, these 2.5 tribes promised to go in ahead of the others and fight the enemy, and then once that land was taken, and only then, they would return to the east side of the Jordan River, where they could raise their cattle and live happily ever after. And so Moses said, okay, but if you don't do this, be sure your sin will find you out. You're going to get it. Let's go back to Joshua 22 again. And so, I'll start. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. They've got a good reputation. They did what they said. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment of the Lord, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto them, and to serve him. See, the danger of separation is always going to be that you might not stick with the crowd. You might not continue to obey the Lord. You might, you know, end up in a far country. I'm going to do a Joe Biden thing. Far country. And so that's the concern that he has, that if they separate from the other 9.5 tribes, what's going to end up happening is they'll slowly but surely crumble, they'll lose their spiritual well-being, and they'll end up being a mess. And of course, Moses is concerned about, and Joshua, they're all concerned about the totality of the nation of Israel. And so they said, but take diligent heed to do the commandment of the Lord, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, and to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. Now to the one half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given possession in Bashan, but unto the other half thereof gave Joshua among the brethren on this side Jordan westward. And when Joshua sent them away unto their tents, then he blessed them. And he spake unto them, saying, return with much riches unto your tents, and with very much cattle, with silver and with gold and with brass and with iron, with very much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go unto the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed, according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And when they came, we're about to alter a little bit here. It says, when they came unto the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see. We can learn just by the text here that the purpose of this altar was not to be used, but in order to be seen. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. And so, and the children of Israel heard say, talking about the whole nation heard that they had done this. Behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. So right away they said, wait a minute. They haven't been out of our sight very long, and already they're building an altar, which you say, well, what's the problem? Well, the problem is that God had already ordained where an altar was to be erected and where sacrifices were to be made. And so if one tribe or any amount of tribes start building somewhere else, that's an indication that they're trying to separate, which is a major concern. As we can see, they were so upset when they heard that, they're gathering together and going off to fight them. We read in Leviticus 17 in verse 8 and 9 that thou shalt say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers which sojourn among you, that offereth a burnt offering or a sacrifice and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people. That was what Moses had told the whole nation. This is where sacrifices are going to be made, in the tabernacle, on that altar, and if you try to offer it anywhere else, you're going to get it. It says the same thing in Deuteronomy 12 in verse 5 and 6, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heave offerings and your hand and your vows and your freewill offerings and the firstlings of your herd and of your flocks. There's a single place where you're going to do this. Down in verse 27 of Deuteronomy 12, it says, and thou shalt offer the burnt offerings, the flesh and the blood upon the altar of the Lord thy God. and the blood of thy sacrifices shall be poured out upon the altar of the Lord. Notice how it's called the altar of the Lord. And so here we find that they're violating. They get a pat on the back initially about how they've done right and followed the Lord. And now all of a sudden they're not gone very long and they hear about they're building an altar. And so the nation of Israel says, we're going to get them. We'll get you and your little dog too. Well, that's another story. Anyway. And so notice it says that when they heard it, they didn't see it. They didn't talk to anybody about it. All they did was hear this. And that was enough for them to get your guns. They didn't have guns. I'm throwing that in. And they're ready to go and fight them. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 1 and verse number 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Better be careful what you hear and how you respond to what you hear. In Proverbs 18 and verse 13, the Bible said, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Have you ever jumped the gun and said something or did something before you knew all of the background on it? Yeah. He says it's folly and shame if you do that. In James 1 and verse 19, James writes, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Is any of that going on here? Absolutely not. Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse 26 and 27, be ye angry, he said, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So that when you do that, you're opening up the door for the devil to come in. Again, I said Joshua 22, 2, 2, 2, 2. Division, division, division. The devil loves that. So let's continue and see what happens. And the children of Israel, verse 13, the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben and to the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh into the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest. And with him 10 princes of each chief house, a prince throughout all the tribes of Israel, and each one was in the head of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. And they came. See, what was the original or the initial response wasn't right. But then they said, well, hang on here. Let's cool our jets. Let's get to the bottom of this. So they sent representation to go and talk to them. And so what ends up happening? They came unto the children of Reuben and unto the children of Gad and unto the half tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead, and they spake with them, saying, thus shalt the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away his day from following the Lord? In that ye have built you an altar that you might rebel this day against the Lord. See, they're assuming what's going on here is that they're rebelling. They're going to start their own little nation. Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which ye were not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord? That's one incident. We're not going to go through all of these things, but that incident was a mistake on their part. He said in verse 18, but that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord, and it will be, seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. What you're doing is going to impact all of us. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over. Hey, if that place where you are, all of a sudden you found out is not where you need to be or where you want to be, if you have a change of heart, then come back over here. But whatever you do, don't you be building no altar there, whereof the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us. But rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us, in building you an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God. See, the one and only altar is the Lord our God. He said, don't be building another one. Then he brings up another incident. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on what? All the congregation of Israel? Yeah, it did. And the man perished not alone in his iniquity. See, sin affects everybody. And so he's concerned that if they're going to build this altar, the whole nation's going to end up paying for this. And they're going to pay dearly. And so he said, then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, the Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel, he shall know if he be in rebellion or if in transgression against the Lord. Save us not this day. He said, this is their response. If you think we're up to no good, if you think we're doing something wicked and evil here, then don't bother saving us. We'll take it. You know, the Apostle Paul said the same sort of thing in Acts 25 in verse 10 and 11. It says, then Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. He said, and the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof they accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. He said, you know what? If I'm up to no good, if I'm doing wrong, then kill me. I'll take it. And that's the same response that these characters, well, kind of the other way around. They had this response long before Paul ever did his. But you know what? When you know you're innocent, you can make that claim. You can say, hey, if I'm up to no good, you know how sometimes people will say, judge not that you be not judged. Well, the Bible also says, judge righteous judgment. Well, where are you going to find some righteous judgment? Right here. The point I'm making here is that the Apostle Paul, just like the 2.5 tribes there, they said, look, if you think we're doing wrong, then we'll take whatever's coming to us. But we're not doing anything wrong. So, Let's pick up. It's verse 23. Remember, verse 22, he said, save us not this day. Don't bother trying to defend us. That we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer thereon burnt offerings or meat offerings, or if to offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself require it. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying in time to come, your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? See, they understand, these 2.5 tribes, that as time goes on and they're distanced from the others, eventually it's going to be like, who are those people over there? Are they part of us? And if anyone attempted to claim them, they said, well, they've been gone so long, forget about them. So their attitude is fear of being, I'll call it, excommunicated from the nation. And they said, no, we just opted to stay over here because this was a good place for cattle. We're part of the crowd. We're in. So he said, they're worried that someone is going to end up saying, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? I mean, we're all over here and you're over there. For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you. Ye children of Reuben and children of Gad, ye have no part in the Lord. See, because the Jordan River was a divider. And, you know, I think we all, it would be like us having, some churches do this, having church up here at the same time somebody else is having of our congregation church downstairs. You know, or if you're below a certain age, we send all of them down there. I'll just go on the record to say I am opposed to Sunday school going on during church service, and I am opposed to children's church. We're all together here, and believe me, I can speak to everybody. Because what ends up happening is when you start dividing it like that, the children end up playing games and eating snacks and doing all of that junk. And then when all of a sudden they're grown up, someone, based on a determination of an age, says, now you have to go up and listen to loudmouth. And they go, I think I'd rather stay down here and eat snacks and play games. I think we've all seen little children in church. We've seen it recently with Lily. We've seen it with Elijah. Were they wonderfully behaved the first week? No. But eventually, they are. I grew up in a religious system that was a lot more strict than we are. And we sat there and you didn't dare. And they didn't take you out. They ever had to take you out, they'd be taking you out. So they're concerned here that they're going to be ostracized from the nation, which is a legitimate concern. So they want their people to, the 2.5 tribes, they want their people to recognize that they're part of the whole. That's why they erected this altar. It's not in order to offer sacrifice, but to remember. They have a remembrance. Well, let's read. He says, for the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you, ye children of Reuben and children of Gad. Ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore, we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifice, but that we may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, ye have no part in the Lord. Therefore said we that it should be that we shall, when they should so say to us, to our generation in time to come, that we may say again, behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. You know, it's kind of like, if you think about it, it's kind of like we don't have an altar to offer sacrifices. We have an altar. We have an altar, and people can come to the altar, and they can pray, and they can confess. They can do all kinds of things at this altar. This altar, just like their altar, was not for sacrifices. They weren't trying to do something in addition to or in opposition to what the rest of the nation was doing. Then they even say this, God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, or for sacrifices beside the altar of the Lord our God that is before his tabernacle. And when Phinehas the priest and the princes of the congregation, the heads of the thousands of Israel, which were with him, heard the words that the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said unto the children of Reuben, and children of Gad, and children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now ye have delivered the children out of the children of the hand of the Lord. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the princes returned from the children of Reuben and from the children of Gad out of the land of Gilead unto the land of Canaan to the children of Israel and brought them word again. And the thing pleased the children of Israel. And the children of Israel blessed God and did not intend to go up against them in battle, to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and the children of Gad dwelt. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar. It's a Hebrew word that they used because it sounds pretty weird to us, that they called it Ed. For it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. That was the only purpose of it. And initially when they just heard, just a misunderstanding. They heard something and they reacted to it and they were ready to go and kill him. And God, they used their senses here. They went and they sent, I'll call it an ambassage, and they sent them there and they inquired and they listened and they heard what they had to say and it pleased them. Now, here's the only problem. There is a problem with all of this. And the problem is this. Before those 2.5 tribes built this altar, they had a conversation with themselves. And they talked to the others, and it pleased them. But did anyone ever talk to God? And say, God, would it be all right if we do this over here? Because in all honesty, having done that, shouldn't they have recognized that just maybe they might interpret this as something wrong? They didn't see that. See, they were more interested in, and this is where we run into dangers all the time, more interested in just simply pleasing ourselves. What satisfies us? What works for us? Well, okay, I understand that. And there was nothing wrong. There was no hanky-panky. This was absolutely above board. They had a legitimate reason for doing so. And when they finally heard it, they said, okay, we got it. We know why you did that now. What do we learn from all of this? Well, I'll tell you what we learn. We learn that sometimes we hear things or we see things and we jump to conclusions. And as Solomon said, I hear he's a pretty wise man. What Solomon said was, he that heareth a matter, or what do you say? Before he heareth it, it's folly and shame to him. And so we need to be, James has it right, slow. We have to be slow to hear, or quick to hear rather, but slow to react to everything that goes on around us. And I know years ago, I may have even told you this, but there's been plenty of times where as soon as I thought I knew where the subject was going, I was ready to respond. And then after a while, what you find out is this. That's not what I was saying. And then, you know what you have to do then? Oh, never mind. Never mind. All of this was just strictly, God devotes, has to be for a reason. Now, understandably, we could just read that passage and possibly come to the conclusions that I've given you here this morning. But you know what? If we just read these things, for the most part, we're going to get a historical account of what took place. But we have to be able to take those passages. The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. That we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. And so we look at that, and we're supposed to learn something from this. Well, what do we learn? We learn misunderstandings can sometimes create a real problem. And we need to calm down, investigate, stop, listen. Just stop and smell the roses. No, that's something else. It's kind of a country song. He probably wouldn't know that one. Yeah. Well. Anyway. when it's all said and done here, I just think to myself, what is it? What is it that we might have in our lives? What ed do we have in our lives? You know. Whenever I hear that, the only thing I can ever remember is growing up, and show my age now, Mr. Ed. Mr. Ed. Is that a horse? Is a horse, of course, of course. A horse, of course, unless, of course, the horse, of course, is the famous Mr. Ed. Well, we need to eliminate. It's okay, apparently, to have an Ed, but before you erect an Ed in your life, you might want to have a little talk. Have a little talk with Jesus, number one, and then deal with it this way.